This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
And the gloves are off. Hey, Matthew Tkachuk and Brandon Hagel. This was set up.
And here they come right here,
right? Right before the first Tkachuk fight, this was set up. Here you go. Bennett in the lineup for the first time. Brady gets the better of this one.
Charlie McAvoy put one on net. Now we're 9 seconds in. We had a fight 2 seconds in, another one 1 second later. Now in the center of the action, it's Colt Parayko and JT Miller.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Always a delight to talk to the great Eddie Olczyk, one of the great local guys made good. You see him still NHL on TNT. Of course, he does the Kraken games, and we are delighted to welcome him to the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Eddie, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, Mully, David, nice to be with you guys. It's been an incredible last 9, 10 days with the pause in the National Hockey League season for the Four Nations face-off. And just to give people a little background, I mean, this is kind of an appetizer teaser for what's going to happen in a year from now when NHL players will be back in the Olympics for the first time since Sochi back in 14. So I think the league hit it out of the park, so to speak. Now, you could argue, would it be great to have, you know, four or five other countries involved? Absolutely. But, you know, time is, you know, you don't want to shut the NHL season down for a month. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. I think it's been unbelievable. Hopefully, you know, Blackhawk fans have tuned in and to be able to watch. And, you know, tonight's game, part two, so to speak, against our biggest rival. And when I say our, I was lucky enough to wear the red, white, and blue in the 84 Olympics for Team USA and Sarajevo, Yugoslavia, and then play in the Canada Cup of hockey back in 84, 87, and 91, and then played in a bunch of world championships. So there's a lot on the line. And for anybody that thought this would be an exhibition, the clips you guys just played with Dustin, I think that showed that this really means something, and I think that's why it's gotten the publicity and the energy level, because there is a great pride of representing your country and going up against the best hockey players in the world, and I think the NHL and the NHLPA deserve a lot of credit.
It's great, Eddie. I was surprised. I think a lot of people have been surprised at how popular it has been, how mm-hmm. intense it has been. Maybe you're not, but is it as simple as that? You're just appealing to the nationalism to a lot of people? Or why do you think that in this last 10 days it's been such a mm-hmm. national celebration of hockey?
I think it's just that. It's, you know, a lot of these guys haven't had the opportunity, David, because of, you know, the NHL not going to the Olympics in 18 and COVID. And, you know, just, I mean, there's just so many things. So a lot of these players, professional players, have been, really anticipating and excited for this opportunity. And you know, I know that when people look at this tournament and the questions going in, just the understanding is that, you know, that this isn't just about, you know, going out and trying to sell the game. It's about winning. And I think anytime you have professional athletes, you know, go that extra mile, and especially with your, you know, representing your country, there's something to it. You know, and in particular, I only can speak to USA Hockey in being an alum of Team USA. And I've always looked at it, and I think a lot of my, you know, teammates, you know, over the years, is that we've always looked at our friends north of the border, as in Canada, is our biggest rival. Always has been, always will be. It's not always. It's not been reciprocated, to be quite honest. The biggest rival for Canada has always been Russia. Hmm. And I think in order to have a rivalry, I know what the argument is. In order to have a rivalry, individually or country-wise or team-wise, both teams got to win a few games. You know, both teams
right.
got to win a few tournaments. And unfortunately for us, that being, you know, when I say us, Team USA, we have not had the success as Canada has. And I understand that. But I still think that there is the feeling through USA Hockey, and these players in particular, is there still is a lack of hockey respect from our biggest rival. And I think that with everything going on, like, I'm not going down the PC world right now, I'm not. But considering what's going on off the ice, you know, with both countries right now, you know, the anthems of what's taken part. So I think there's just a lot of things going on. But to me, the most important—I shouldn't say most important—but I think the biggest reason why is that taking people inside and, you know, and getting through the weeds is that we've always had that mindset of they're our biggest rival and we're still, you know, not up to their par. And look, I understand wins are wins, and we understand that, but I just think that that's what makes it in the feeling for at least Team USA. Is why this is so important to a lot of people, and especially these young hockey players that get that unbelievable opportunity to win this tournament on home ice in Boston. And it should be a lot of fun to be able to watch.
It's wild to me that they're in Boston, they're on the ice there, and yet Charlie McAvoy is out for the game. He's still hospitalized. Yeah. He apparently has an infection in his shoulder along with damage to the AC joint. I mean, if I'm the Boston Bruins, I'd be like out of, and I guess they are, kind of out of their heads over it. And I wonder, moving forward with the NHL players in the Olympics, is there hesitation when you see the Tkachuk brothers get hurt, when you see, you know what I mean? Like,
I
love the game, Eddie. I love watching it. It's been fantastic. But what if the guy can't get back on the ice for his team?
I know, Molly. Look, I've lived it. I've lived it, and I understand. It is that, just think for, like, Team Canada the other day, I think it was in game one, Bruce Cassidy, the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, assistant coach for Team Canada, and John Cooper, his defenseman, Shea Theodore, who was on Team Canada, goes into a corner and gets hit and all of a sudden comes out and his wrist is hanging there. And he's out for, you know, a couple of months, you know. So, I mean, I get it. And there is that fine line of you know, wanting to sell the game, wanting to promote the game. Look, the players, the NHL Players Association and the players of it they were like adamant. We want international competition, you know, whether it's during the season or before the season or whatever. And look, you know, getting hurt, it could happen in practice. It could happen at home. It could happen in a game. And I understand. I mean, the liability and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you're right. I mean, Charlie McAvoy, again, reports, whatever, but whether he misses one game or 25 games, it's that's way too many. So I don't know what the answer is. I mean, obviously we know what the answer is. It's not to play.
Right.
But I think the players want to do it, and as long, obviously, if they want to do it, then we got a game. If they don't, then, you know, we understand. So logistics certainly play a big part of it. But I think moving forward here is that, you know, like I said, it's the appetizer for the Olympics in Italy next year. And then they're going to go back to the All-Star game, I think, in 27, if I'm getting my numbers right here. And then in 28, they're going to go back to another, you know, however many nations face off. And I think, you know, it would be great to have, you know, six or seven or eight and have one of those, you know, mid-season. So I understand exactly what you're saying. Yeah, and it's brutal for Vegas. It's brutal for, you know, for Boston. But these players, you know, they want to play, and they're going to play through it. And this might – some of these guys, let's just call it what it is. I mean, part of this, too, is an audition for a year from now. Now, a lot of things can happen in a year, and you don't perform well, you know, you might not get that invitation or that opportunity again. So there's – I mean, it is – that's why it's been so intense, and I think that it's so – highly competitive, and players, you know, maybe saying, you know what, I'm not going to say anything. You know, I'm just going to kind of try to play through something. And yeah, teams are going to get upset. But again, this is an NHL venture with the players.
So, Eddie, you were in that building. You know how emotionally charged it can get. You referenced mm-hmm. the anthem. I wondered, number one, do you think tonight the Canadian anthem gets booed? And if it does, what effect would that have on the game?
Yeah. I mean, we all know the story and what has happened in Montreal, and you know the PA announcer inside the buildings. You know, they're making the announcements to have, you know, to hopefully that, you know, fans and people will show respect for the, you know, particular countries of the, you know, of each competing team. And you know, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I would assume there's probably going to be some, but you know, I'm all about our anthem and how the crowd is going to react, and these players are going to be all lathered up and charged up and just so excited to be able to play, you know, our arch rival in a game of this magnitude on center stage. And but you know, I can't control what's going to end up happening with a few people or however many people are going to, you know, decide to, you know, to do what they're going to do during the Canadian national anthem or the U.S. But hopefully they can show, you know, great respect and be there and get entertained, because I'm certainly looking at – I'm watching as a – you know, I always watch all sports, as you guys know. I mean, I watch all sports, and I watch it as a broadcaster. And okay, well, how would I handle this particular situation, or what would I say in this particular situation when it comes to the game of hockey or horse racing, Molly, by that fact? And then, you know, but then also as a fan of what, you know, what I think is the greatest game in the world. And also too, as an alum, you know, like I want our guys to win. I want our guys to win the gold medal next year and in Italy. So I'm very excited, and just looking forward to hopefully people, you know, tuning in and being entertained, you know, between Team Canada and Team USA.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone is very pumped up about it. I wasn't following the story as closely as I should have, but apparently, you know, Sully said that they were going to have some from help from Hughes, yeah. And now yeah. he's not yeah. coming.
Right.
And they're talking about a couple other guys who might be able to come. But I don't right. blame him if he can't play. But he was on the original list. Then he got hurt. Yeah. He had to pull out. Yeah. I don't know. I just feel right. like they yeah. should have made an adjustment with him.
Well, look, the only thing, and again, nobody asked my opinion, but I'm gonna voice it. Is I believe that these rosters should have been a little larger, even though it's only, you know, it's only four games for Team USA and Team Canada, you know, and then bringing guys in and, you know, and having these, you know, auxiliary rosters. And, you know, it's got to be a player that's, you know, that's hurt in order to bring these guys in. Look, if a player doesn't want to be an extra and would rather just, you know, bypass, I think if you would have had a roster and had, you know, three extra defensemen and three extra forwards, I don't think it would be as big as a story. If a guy can't start, you know, because he's injured and you want him to be one of those extra guys, then okay. And then maybe he's okay in 7 or 8 days or whatever it is. You know what I mean? Like, I just think that there should have been more players on site, and because what we're – and look at, and I think there will be next time around. because of the intensity and factually knowing is that there are guys that are probably 65-70%, and they're saying, you know what, I got a chance to play for my country. You know what, I don't care what happens, I'm going to go and perform. And look, U.S. doesn't win that game against Canada without Charlie McAvoy the other night. Yeah. Let's just make that perfectly clear. Like, he was unbelievable. Look at that. Like, he played so unbelievable, and Canada arguably had the best defenseman in the world not play that game in Cale Makar. Cale Makar is back now. He's dealing with something. And, you know, that could end up being the difference in that game tonight. I know it's I heard Dustin there. I know it's a pick 'em. There's no doubt about it. You can flip that coin however many times, and I could sit there and say, yeah, I can see it. But I do give a slight edge to Canada because of the factor of getting a guy like Cale Makar back in Team USA, losing a guy like Charlie McAvoy.
If it comes down to goaltending, you've got Hellebuck for Team USA, you've got Jordan Binnington for Team Canada, and last time Jordan Binnington played in a game this big in that building, he won the Stanley Cup, Eddie. Yeah. Who do you give the advantage to in net?
Yeah, I give it to Hellebuck because he's a Hellebuck of a goaltender, by the way, if I could say that on the radio. So, a slight edge. You know, slight edge. I mean, Binnington's given up some soft goals here in the tournament, but, you know, I thought the Jake Guentzel goal, the first goal of the game for Team USA in that prelim game, I thought that was kind of a soft goal. But look, he played good the other day. In a must-win against Team Finland, obviously he's a proven goaltender, a proven winner. But, you know, look, the pressure's on. So I think in that position, I mean, Team USA going into the tournament, but now it's a one-gamer, right? You can have a good night, you can have a bad night, and that could end up being the difference. So if you get it, that being goaltending, you got a great chance to win.
Hey, just wanted to get your take on, and I don't know what to make of this idea, but apparently Seth Jones and the Blackhawks are talking about the possibility of a trade. He's not demanding a trade. You know, he's on a massive contract, 8-year, $76 million. I don't know how easy it'll be to trade, but they're just having a discussion between themselves. I mean, word breaks on that. You're putting up a, you know, an advertisement. Hey, you want this guy? Come get him. And
He has a full. He has a full no move, a no movement clause, right? Yeah, because I know Stan.
Yeah.
When Stan Love traded this. For him, he got him, and he had 1 year left on his deal. And like, you know, 2 hours in, he signed him to an 8-year deal at 70-some-shmill a year or $70 million total. So, I mean, any player. And I'm just obviously we're talking about Seth Jones, but I mean any player. That has that, and you know, it gets out like that. Obviously, I mean, there's going to be some retainment. I don't think there's any, you know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. So, you know, that would be, you know, that would be an interesting move. But usually, when stuff like this kind of starts floating out, somebody's been talking to somebody, and you know, there's probably already a couple of dance partners that are sniffing around a little bit. So, you know, look, you know, you make a move like that. Obviously, it gives Kyle and Normie, some big time flexibility here moving forward. Whether it's in 6 months or in a couple of years, I would concur that there's a little bit of steam behind this.
So, Eddie, before I let you go, you mentioned the '84 Olympics. So you have represented this country at the highest point, and maybe that was the peak of your career, or maybe it was when you won a Stanley Cup in 94. Or how do you compare what's about to happen tonight? I know it's not the Olympics but for a lot of these young players, it might be as big of a stage as they've ever been on, even some of those guys who maybe have won Stanley Cups. How do you compare and contrast those two pinnacles? Because I think that tonight it feels like this is big.
Well, it is. Look, I mean, when I made Team USA at 16 years old in the summer of 1983, and turning 17, and then playing in the Olympics in February of '84, you know, we were following the footsteps of the Miracle on Ice. there was no pressure. Every town we went in, we had parades and lunches with mayors, and we were giving keys to cities and giving keys to hotel rooms. But that's for another story. I mean, we were everywhere. I mean, it was just, I didn't know any, honestly, I didn't I mean, I felt pressure, but I just went out and played, you know, and there's just something. I always felt, and I said this on TV the other night during the game, and I hope that it came across. Maybe I can be a little bit more, you know, eloquent here. Not that I would, I can't even say it, let alone spell the word. But I believe that I always, when I put on that sweater, I always felt that I was not only representing our country in a sporting, you know, in a sporting venue, but that I was playing for and representing the players that paved the way for me, and then play for those guys inside that room, and then pave and play for the players that came after me in the game of hockey. And that's the only way that I can explain it. And it just, it means so much. There's just a bond of having been able to put on that sweater. And look at whether you win the gold medal in Lake Placid or you finished in seventh place in Sarajevo in 1984, there's just that respect factor of knowing that you want to make those players that played before you and the players that come after you, you want them to be proud of you and to know that you're going to do whatever it takes regardless of the tournament. And I got that feel from Team USA when I was around them a lot. I mean, I was lucky enough to, we wish that game would have meant a little bit more, or would have meant something, the other night between Team USA and Team Sweden. But, you know, talking to the players and some of the coaches, it's just like, this is going to mean a lot. And it's going to feel awfully good as if they can find a way to win, because obviously they're going to have their hands full tonight. But I just think that there's something about representing and showing up. And, you know, look at all these players are good. You know, all these players are good, great players. I mean, all these guys are used to being on a power play and being out there at the end of the game. But look at a guy like Dylan Larkin with the Red Wings. I mean, you know, the guy's got 58, 60 points already. He can't even get on a power play. I mean, so, you know, like, just that's, you know, those type of things is you got to accept and execute your role and go out there and have fun and win. And it's always something I've been super proud of, is to have represented Team USA. And, I think in seven or eight different tournaments, I was able to coach an under-18 team back in the summer of 2006. And, you know, that was just a great honor to be able to stand behind a bench. And a bunch of guys end up, you know, making a National Hockey League, led by Ryan McDonough, who's had himself an unbelievable career. So I just really, it's always just a little bit more, patriotism and just understanding that, you know, you're playing your hockey more, more just hockey, not just hockey fans are watching. You know, it just seems like it gets people's attention. And I think there's a lot to that too.
Eddie, thanks a ton. Always great to talk to you. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, Eddie.
Always great to be with you guys. Thanks for having me, and loved everybody back home. Thanks.
That's great. That's Eddie Olczyk. Loved everyone back home. We wanted to say to him, you know, Mike Lang died yesterday, the legendary broadcaster in Pittsburgh who Eddie worked with, and mm-hmm. wanted to wish our condolences to Eddie over that. It's just a tough situation. But, man, he described that great about how it feels to play
really
for the
did.
USA. Mully and Haw, we got Bruce next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baseball. Bruce Levine.
It's great to talk some baseball.
Score Baseball Insider, covering the Cubs and White Sox for more than 30 years.
Bruce Levine is a newsbreaker.
Inside the Clubhouse co-host.
Great being with you, talking baseball.
Bruce Levine.
That's a really good question, Bruce.
See, Bruce has the first hard question.
With Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always a delight to talk to our guy, Bruce Levine. He joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Hey, Bruce, how are you?
Good morning, guys. Is it always a delight?
Always.
Yes. I
mean, yep, you are delightful.
You guys have hung up on me many times.
Never. I've never hung up on you.
Delightfully so.
You and David have had your moments, but I've always had love for you, Bruce.
I look at the watch, and you know, sometimes I'm on for 7 minutes. I'm going, oh man, who did I piss off today?
Okay. Well, we'd love to have you as often as we've had you, Bruce. So let's talk today. Cubs, get on the field. Dodgers is the first game. It's on the MLB Network. Bruce, this is interesting because for the first time, MLB is testing the automated ball strike system, or ABS, or robot umps. What do you think?
I love the term ABS, right? You know, it's just, it tells you all you need to know about this. They're going to try it. It's the first time that players and pitchers and batters and catchers are going to be in charge of instantly asking for a replay. And it'll go up on the board. Fans will see the decision made and where the ball went according to the box. So it's going to be a kind of a sideshow of what it's all about. Obviously not used during the regular season this year, but it should be fun to watch the trial. The one thing we know about replay, it doesn't stop at how they start it. You remember regular replay back in the day when Bud Selig warned everybody, it's not going to just stop with fair ball, foul ball, home runs, okay? It's going to go all the way. He was 100% right about that, and this will be the same. There will be questioning about umpires when they're wrong, and it also plant a seed for the hitter or the pitcher that the umpire isn't quite on his game that day.
Yeah, I'm curious about it. I'm very curious to see what this looks like today. I know that it's just the beginning, and it's on the MLB Network, but why only Michael Busch? Or why Michael Busch? If you're not playing anybody, why does Michael Busch play?
It's pretty common, guys, that when the team travels to the other side of town, mm-hmm. or to another place, the starters don't play. So tomorrow, when you can hear the game on the Score, along with Matt Spiegel and Ron Coomer doing the play-by-play, you'll be able to see more regulars in the lineup. It's just a common practice by managers in the Cactus League and in the Grapefruit League that they just don't travel their players. So Bush today, everybody else back here at the complex and at Sloan, and you know, not a big deal. It's an early start. You're not going to see any of the regular pitchers there today pitching against the Dodgers. So tomorrow might be a little bit different. You'll see the ramping up of starting pitching for the Cubs a lot sooner than any other clubs. Dodgers and Cubs have to start ramping up their starters.
Bruce, last spring I think we were learning a lot about Craig Counsell, getting to know him, if you will, so we kind of hung on every word. This spring, and I want to be respectful here, he sounds bored sometimes. And talking about the first hour of spring training games being what basically is all you can pay attention to, didn't it kind of reinforce that idea? How would you describe Counsell's demeanor so far this spring?
Attentive, but you know, more in command of his area of, you know, knowing the team, knowing the front office. An interesting thing yesterday, you know, as some of the pitchers were warming up on the main field, he was spending a lot of time with Jed Hoyer talking, maybe 15 minutes. And I just think that in the capacity of knowing each other in an advisory role as a guy that can help with, you know, the roster, even though he's the manager, I think it's a much more calming time for the front office and for him. There were times last year where Counsell said, you know, there needs to be better communication with me in the front office. Well, you know, it was a getting to know you year. I think there's a real trust and you know, a real use of each other's abilities going on right now that we didn't see last year.
Yeah, I like what I hear from Craig Counsell. I appreciate the fact that he said that his communication with Seiya Suzuki was on him, that he didn't make enough of an effort. He didn't figure out how to get through to him, whatever it was. That's a guy kind of taking stock of the way things went and looking back and expressing a regret, which you don't often hear from people.
I think you identified something, Mike, that we didn't see last year, and that is, you know, self-evaluation and not afraid to tell people that, you know, he made a mistake. He's got to be better. I think, you know, David asked me, you know, about this last year when you guys had me on toward the end of the year. He said, you know, where is the responsibility level for Counsell in a year that's disappointing? And it was a, you know, it was a minor theme of, hey, 83 wins is what they got under David Ross. Why are they only winning 83 with Counsell? He's brought in as the highest paid manager in the history of baseball. The expectations are he was going to be a five war manager. You know, I mean, they don't rate the managers on war system, but nonetheless, he was supposed to be the difference in four or five wins, and wasn't the case last year. So I think he understands that, first of all, he's more comfortable here in Chicago. Second of all, not afraid to say that he made mistakes. And third of all, I'm angry with him because he made us wait an hour and a half yesterday. He told us
he was
going to be at 12:15, and he showed up at 2:40.
You do get grumpy when you get impatient, Bruce. I will say that.
You know what? Counsell is, you know, he doesn't seem like a guy with dancing around with a lampshade on his head, but he's a fun guy because he's really very honest. You get good information from him. There's no fabrication in anything. He rarely dodges a question, if ever. So that's the type of manager or coach you pray for when you're a reporter, to be able to have all the information directly from the manager, be able to inform people exactly what's going on.
Bruce, when will they make the Justin Turner signing official? He was in the clubhouse reportedly on Wednesday. When will he speak about his decision to join the Cubs?
Yeah, as soon as they make it official, you know, after they look at all the medicals, he took his medical yesterday. So, oddly, we were in the clubhouse waiting. He first came in, and then he took his medical. It's usually done differently, you know, where the guy does it outside of the area, and then the medical people look at it. But, you know, hopefully early today they'll make the announcement. We'll talk to him, have some sound from him. He's ready to go, and we'll see how they're going to implement him. I can't wait for Council to tell us how many at-bats he's going to have, where he's going to play. I think it's going to be interesting. I think I know, and it's not going to be a third base, so that'll be intriguing in itself. Who will be the backup third baseman for Matt Shaw? Will it be Birdie? Will it be Brujan? Will it be Nicky Lopez? Not usually an exciting thing talking about backups, but when you have a rookie starting at third base, it's something you're going to be paying attention to.
Did I read this right, Bruce, that for the Dodgers today, that Yamamoto will be taking the mound at some point, if not starting? He obviously doesn't want to give the Cubs too much of a look because they could shock him in Japan.
No, that's true. Look, I think, you know, the guy started out an unhealthy player last year.
Yeah.
So they want to give him a head start. They also are playing a home game. So you have your home starting pitcher pitching at Camelback Ranch against the Cubs. And, you know, he's a really important player, pitcher for him. You know, Sasaki's a fascinating pitcher this year. This guy's, we forget about it. He's a $300 million player that was injured last year. He's an essential part of their team. I know it's unfair. The Dodgers have every player in the world, but he's a real focal point for them this year.
And the idea of Michael Bush against maybe Mookie Betts and Teoscar Hernandez, that seems unfair.
Yeah, it does. He's got to carry the load today. But, again, baseball starting today. What could be better than that? It's exciting. Weather's nice. Hopefully Chicago people can get out here a little bit and enjoy the White Sox and Cubs. And look forward to reporting games and hearing the games on the Score.
Thanks, Bruce.
You're the best, Bruce. Thanks.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That's our guy, Bruce Levine. Isn't that weird that there are some Dodgers that might show up just because they're at home?
It's not weird.
They're at Camelback Ranch.
Way too much made about who's in the lineup today. Okay. Who is?
Curious. Dustin's very upset.
I know he's very upset. I think he's very concerned.
I don't think he cares at all. And I just said that. He kind of winced at the statement.
Craig Counsell says time's of the essence, and we've got to get ready because we're getting on a bird and we're going to Japan. And then he plays only Michael Bush.
It's part of getting ready.
And then it's a tradition. You know,
it's part of getting ready.
When you go across town, you leave the start. And it's early. I mean, it's at 2:20 Central. They haven't had their cup of coffee yet?
Does he have an apartment in Camelback?
It's also 2:20 on the calendar, February 20th. Chill out.
Oh, wow. That is angry. All right. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to Score.
For all the lineup eastas out there right now.
Tonight inside Bell Center, hockey's greatest international rivalry is about to be renewed. The USA and Canada will do battle in a best-on-best international tournament. For the burst of speed, he scores! Dylan Larkin is... played it down low, they score! Jake Gensel ties it for the United States!
Competing in a high-stakes environment, Stanley Cup finals, things of that nature, that was the feeling that it had. It's as competitive hockey as exists, you know, on the highest stage with the best players.
This is your time! Now go out there and take it.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Wow.
That is a hype video.
Yeah.
For the game tonight. It's really good if you saw the video.
Well, the video.
We're on the radio.
That's okay. You still get the gist,
yes,
Mully.
You
still get
yes,
the gist.
Do.
Look, if you had one shot. One opportunity.
Oh my God.
To seize everything you ever wanted. One moment.
Get mom spaghetti.
Yes. Would you capture it or would you let it slip? I'm ready. That's fun. Now, where's the Team Canada hype video?
Yeah, that's what you need. Here it is.
There we go. This is.
You gotta lose yourself.
How could you listen to Eddie Olczyk talk about representing Team USA in 1984? As an 18-year-old kid and not get a little bit emotional. Believe it.
Yeah, but you're going with the, you know.
Will you stop?
You've chosen hockey over homeland.
We have an obligation here. We have a job to do. Part of the job is to share our opinions. The question and the pick six or the extra point way back at 6:40 was to make a prediction, our professional opinion. You try to remove emotion from the equation.
But you're all hyped up and you're jumping up and down and you're talking about Edzo and you want to put your your head through a file cabinet. I don't understand how you can be two people.
You got to try. I did pick and predict Canada 4-3. I think I said take the over,
take the under.
It is a pick 'em game, so it's not like I'm on an island here.
Oh, I think picking Canada. I think you're not on an island. I think that the various injuries for the United States of America
that's true.
Have kind of changed the way people are looking at the game.
I think you're right, and you mentioned the McAvoy injury, which is big. And Edzo reminded everybody, Makar coming back, which is bigger.
Yeah, that's big.
He did not play in the first game. He has the capacity to control a game as a defenseman. He's one of the best defensemen in the NHL. He's one of the best defensemen you're ever going to find. So that's why I give a slight edge to the Canadians. That's all. I'm sorry. But if the Team USA does what we just described, watches that hype video, listens to their coach, just make their hearts stir with emotion, then they are going to be able to pull it out.
Did you see any of the Twitter exchange, the kind of the comments between Hagel and Tkachuk?
I don't read the comments.
That was great stuff. They went back and forth, basically.
Brandon Hagel. Former Hawk.
I know. Brandon, let's take a listen.
I think it's going to be the same way. I think it's two countries. Listen, what happened the other night, I think I did it for the flag and not for the cameras.
Well, I mean, maybe their team doesn't like each other then if they don't have group chats, but, I think that that's just a player, enjoying those opportunities. So I think that our team does not care about anything that they say, and there's been a lot of chatter and talk from individuals, but, we care about one thing in this room, and we have millions of people that are watching us and supporting us around this country, and we're very prideful in playing for them and the guys in the room. So it's an opportunity of a lifetime for us.
So you got Hagel making fun of the USA playing for the flag and making fun of their group chat.
That is,
and then you got Matthew Tkachuk saying, "Hey, we don't care what they think. We take a lot of pride."
That
in what
is
we
wonderfully
do.
Petty.
Oh, it was beautiful.
It's so petty.
It's beautiful.
You gotta love it.
Yeah.
How about Edzo saying though the real rival for Canada is Russia?
Yeah,
but I don't think it's any bigger than it's going to get tonight.
Do the Russians claim to have invented hockey?
I don't know.
I'm just curious.
They probably claim to have perfected it.
A lot of people trying to take credit for that. All right, we're going to switch. There is some really good information out there about how the Bears have the upper hand on one Trey Smith, if indeed he is available via free agency.
It's a big if.
So we're going to bring in Nate Taylor from The Athletic, and we'll talk about whether he will be on the market or not.
He covers the Chiefs. Yep.
And we'll do that next. Mully and Haw on The Score.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.